just pray for Holly. Lord, I've just been so struck this morning by all the songs we've sung about surrendering to you. God, giving our whole hearts. Lord, it's a good thing to hear at the beginning of the year. And Father, I just pray that we'll be a people who so trust in you, not just for salvation, but for everything in our lives, that we will run to you and find you to be the strong tower in our lives. Find you to be utterly safe and utterly good. And Father, I pray for Holly this morning as she brings her message, Lord Jesus, that you would anoint it by the power of your Spirit, that as she walks in this message, that you would make it come alive in all our hearts, Lord Jesus, that it would burn in our hearts. Father, I pray this word will not just be like a word that's preached and tomorrow we've forgotten, but I pray be a word that's like punched into our hearts, that's sort of put on our hearts like a sheep brand, as it were, that we won't forget it, that, Lord, you'll cause us to walk in it through the week and cause us to live in it and make it a reality. Lord, just bless her now and anoint her with the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bear with me. Okay. So in theory, we get to finish James today. It seems like the longest running. They talk about shows in the West End in London that have run for a really long time. It feels like this series on James is the longest running series that HCC has ever had. So hopefully we get to finish today, because I'm really excited about the next one as well. I just want to say, I am really excited to be back here today. I have missed you guys. I've missed meeting together. I've missed family. And it is really good to be here today. It's been a brilliant Christmas. And this time last week, I was just thinking, this time last week, I was awake. It had been a very late night and a bit surreal as I spent it with Hannah and friends who were kind of all off at uni and me, which felt a bit weird. But there you go. We had some very interesting conversations and I felt a bit like a fish out of water some of the time. But actually what I was really struck by was the reactions, both in them and on Facebook, to New Year. There was a lot of reaction about what a bad year 2016 was. Actually, I have to disagree. I had a really good 2016. I know there was stuff, there's always stuff, but actually 2016 was a good year. And I believe that 2017 will be a good year. Yes, there will be disappointments. Yes, there will be difficult circumstances. And we will be able to navigate them, some of us better than others. And I was really struck by how many people, there was one particular lady posted a really despairing thing on Facebook about facing 2017. And I was really sad. And I was contemplating, she doesn't know Jesus. What hope has she got going into 2017? And I'm also surrounded by people who are going, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And we can be a bit Pollyanna-ish and kind of, it'll be fine, and because we're really optimistic. Or maybe we're a bit like the ostrich and we bury our head in the sand and just don't acknowledge the difficult circumstances. A bit fatalistic, everything's going to be fine, it all works out in the end. Or maybe it's based on more than that. And the series that we've done on James has been a bit of a faith gauge. Neil used that phrase, that it's like a gauge of where your faith is. And it's written at a time where the church was scattered. And James is trying to encourage them to persevere in times of trial, in difficult times, and talking to them about where their faith is and what their faith is in and how to mature. I wonder, what things did God speak to you about in 2016? He did speak to you, whether or not we acknowledge it. And I was really grateful for the confirmation that that is an area to mention this morning. Actually, those listening ears. Did you have listening ears in 2016? Sometimes he was speaking to you in the preachers, on James or other, sometimes in our worship. The worship this morning was amazing. Thank you. Thank you, band. That was quite amazing. I was completely lost, and it was really powerful, so thank you. But God did speak during our time of worship, and he does. Through your Bible reading, in your quiet times of prayer with him, in prophetic words, in books you've read. I have read some very mind-stretching books in the last year, and it shaped my theology and changed what I think. In people's random words to you, not necessarily in church, not necessarily from Christians, through nature, through our theology nights, through Freedom in Christ, through Shape Course, through things you watch on YouTube, through Academy, through DC, whatever it is, God is speaking all the time. Are you listening? And what have you done with it? What have you done with what he said to you last year? If we're not careful, and I am as guilty of this as the next, I write it in my journal, and I think about it for probably the rest of that morning, and then I move on. And if I'm not careful, it doesn't impact me, change me. And actually, I want to grow, I want to mature. James is about maturing. So I'm going to read the passage from this, that we're supposed to be looking at today. It's a passage from James 5. And it says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." When you look at that passage, it's a picture of a life of faith. It's easy, actually, to get condemned. When I first read, especially that first little bit about, am I in trouble? Do I pray? Am I happy? Do I sing songs of praise? Is anyone sick? Do I call the elders? Do I offer prayers of faith? And all that. And I started to think about that reaction. How do I react to life? Is my instinctive reaction Godwards to everything that happens, whether in thanksgiving, whether in those help prayers? And it's easy to get condemned by that and go, maybe I just pay it lip service. But God is in our everyday. We've sung this morning about God is here. God is in our everyday. And our response to every single situation can be Godward or not. And I actually think that when it's Godward, it tends to improve the situation. It talks about an individual response and a corporate response. Sometimes we like to kind of get on the phone to friends and family and get them involved. Sometimes we want somebody bigger and better to pray for us. But actually, Jesus came so that the veil could be torn and you have complete access to God yourself. There is nothing stopping you from going to God today about any of your stuff. And some of you feel like you are not qualified, not good enough, gone too far. Some of you feel that the things that you're grappling with or the things that you've been through or the things that you've done even are disqualifying you from entering the presence of God. But actually, Joe reminded us this morning in our worship that those chains have all been broken. The captives have been set free. You are not held back from the presence of God. You are released into the presence of God. So you can come to God individually. There's a bit here where it talks about calling the elders of the church. I am not going to grapple with what that's all about and what it isn't about this morning, because I think it could take us down a rabbit trail. Suffice it to say that if it meant that only the elders could pray for the sick, that gives us a lot of excuse not to go out there and pray for the sick. And there's a lot of other scriptures that mention actually go out and heal the sick, pray for the sick, heal the sick, set the captives free. So I don't think we get to say that's the elders' job. And I'll leave it at that on that one. And then there's that bit where we sit and we pray with each other, one to one. And that's really powerful. Those of you who've been in house groups, built up connections with each other, those of you who know each other really well, you can speak into each other's lives, and the power of confessing and praying and that accountability relationship with each other. And for some of us, that's in the context of discipleship. And that's a really helpful part of that process of maturing. So I started to contemplate this morning, am I ready? Where am I going? What am I doing? And Jackie prayed for me this morning beforehand in the room out here, and said that the Holy Spirit would help me filter. She knows me well. I always have masses and masses of stuff, and I end up going all over the place and thinking, where do you want me to go with this? Because actually, when you start to read scripture and you start to go, where could we go? It can go like that. One scripture can take you in so many directions, which is why it's so rich and so powerful. And I make it all about me. I make it about my performance. I make it about me up here, me doing the stuff. And it isn't. And actually, the bit in here that I wanted to look at about praying for the sick, praying for healing, it's the same. It isn't about me. And when I pray for people when they're sick, I make it about me. Well, what if I haven't got enough faith? What if I haven't said enough prayers this week? I haven't read my Bible enough this week? I haven't got enough to do this. Maybe I'm not one of the elders. I've got an excuse. What if it doesn't work? I think sometimes God has a different perception on how it looks when it works than I do. What if I make it about where I am with God? And it isn't about me. It's about who's in me. We've spoken this morning about God coming down, about earth touching heaven. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, he is in you. You are qualified not because of anything of you, but because he is in you. And he is righteous. And it says in here that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In and of myself, I am not powerful and effective because I am not righteous in my own self. But because of Jesus and what he did, I am righteous. I am, it says in scripture, I am the righteousness of God in him. It's not me, it's Jesus in me. He is righteous, and it's his power working through me. If he only hears prayers from perfect people, we all have a bit of a problem. But actually, because of what Jesus did, we can approach that throne and we can pray. So our prayers can be confident this morning. But it depends what our faith, what our trust is in. And this whole thing about a life of faith, it depends where your faith is. If I'm facing 2017 with my faith in politics or my faith in my abilities or my faith in finances or work or whatever, I have good reason to despair, to be a bit worried. But if I'm facing 2017 on the basis of God exists, That's a good place to start with your faith. And the God that exists and that is in my life is a good God. I've read an analogy recently about God as a parent and describing some of the things that we think God does to people as, what if we imagined a parent doing that to a child? So, for example, the issue of praying for healing. And we talk about, well, maybe you're still sick because God is testing you. Maybe you're still sick because God is punishing you for something. Maybe you're still sick because God wants to show his glory through you being healed. I'm not sure that if we translated that into life as a parent with a child, well, I'm sorry, my child, I'm just going to give you this dreadful disease for a while, because when I make you better again, I'll look really good. I'm not sure that that's how God works. I'm sorry, you've not been really good this week. You're going to have a broken arm for a while. That's probably not how God would work either. I'm really sorry, you're going to have to suffer this, because in the long run, it'll make you stronger. So I'm not going to heal you just yet, because it's making you stronger. I'm not sure that's a God that is a very encouraging, a very nice God. But those are some of the things that we use when we're talking to people to explain away or to kind of help us understand, well, why it didn't work, why they didn't get better instantly. I am completely frustrated when I pray for people and I know God can heal without a shadow of a doubt. I have seen God heal like that and know it can happen. Why it doesn't always happen, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that God, because he's a good God, wants you well. God loves you. It is not his will for you to be sick. It is not his will for you to be struggling. A good father does not like to see his child struggling. I am not convinced that he wants to inflict you with pain to make you stronger. God is big, is the other confidence behind our prayers. He is bigger, we've sung this morning, he's stronger. He's bigger than anything you are facing. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than any sickness. His everything bows to his name. God is big. And there is nothing, it says in scripture, there's nothing that's impossible for him. Our next series, no limits. God is not a God of limitation. He's a big God. And he's happy. He's even happy with you. He's not angry with you. And some of you need to hear that this morning. God is not angry with you this morning. He's not disappointed in you. He doesn't want to punish you, even just for a little while, until you get yourself sorted out. That's not his heart. God's heart we can see in the story of the prodigal son, with that father with his arms open wide, running to meet the son who had so messed up. That is God's heart for you this morning. He's not angry and he's not punishing you. When you interpret life through that lens, it looks different. When you interpret life in 2017 through the lens of, I have a big God who is good, who loves me, who wants the best for me, who is for me, who's cheering me on at the side, 2017 looks like it has some hope. When you interpret praying for people in here through that lens, when I go out and pray for somebody for healing, through the lens of God is good, he loves this person, he wants the best for them, it changes my faith for that particular prayer. We pray differently. Now there is a tension. There's a tension between what we know about God and what we know about the kingdom. And it says here, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. I don't know. I don't have all the answers to that. I do know that we live in a now kingdom and a not yet kingdom, because The kingdom has come. Jesus came and he brought the kingdom. But he hasn't come back yet. So we're in that bit in the middle, and it says in scripture that we see only in part. We don't see all the fullness of everything yet. So he says it will heal. And I can go back to God and say, you said, what's going on? Because it's all in the context of a relationship with Father. It's about me getting closer to him. It's about me spending time with him. It's about me learning his heart for all of you, for all of the people that I come into contact with. It's about his heart being shown to them. He's not a slot machine God. If he was a slot machine God and I always put in the prayer and I always got the answer, I'm not sure that that would involve much faith. I'm not sure that that would be a life of faith. That would be a life of certainty, but it wouldn't require the same relationship. It wouldn't require me to know my Father. It would just go, well, I do that and this happens, end of. There's no relationship in that. And fundamentally, he's a father to me, first and foremost. He's about relationships. So that trust, that faith is built in the context of some of our prayers aren't answered. And I have to learn to trust. But does the answer I come up with in that moment fit the picture of a good God who's big, who's happy, who's bigger than the enemy, who loves me, who loves the person I've prayed for? If my answer is not in that context, then maybe it's not quite right. And the other bit I wanted to pull out of here really is it talks about confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And that feels like a really difficult scripture. Because you go back to God and you say, does that mean if I'm not healed, it's because I'm sinning? I don't think it does. Because that would be punishment. And the punishment fell on Jesus. God is not punishing you with your sin. You need to hear that God is not punishing you. But certainly, sin in our lives does give the enemy access. You think about all those Israelites. It talks about the Israelites doing evil in the sight of God and kind of walking away. They turn away. As you turn to sin, you turn away from God. And it meant that they started losing battles with the enemy. They didn't gain ground in the promised land the same. And it's the same for us. When we sin, we turn away from God and we start agreeing with what the enemy says. So I start looking at 2017, agreeing with fear instead of faith, agreeing with despair instead of hope. And I turn away from God and I start joining in with, agreeing with the enemy. And so it gives him more influence in my life. I don't want to give the enemy influence in my life. It's not a very nice place to live. I don't want to face 2017 filled with despair, filled with fear, filled with worry. It doesn't seem like a very nice place to live. And it's not about you've sinned, therefore you're sick. But there's definitely a link, isn't there? In 3 John 2, it talks about, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Or the older version says, even as your soul prospers. When we keep our soul right, our thoughts, our heart, what we're saying, what we're doing, when we keep all that right, our flesh right, then the rest follows in terms of our health. In Isaiah 35, it talks about a highway of holiness. And when we live on that highway of holiness, it says there are no ferocious beasts on there. No ferocious beasts of cancer, no ferocious beasts of fill in the blank. I'd quite like to live on a road that's got no ferocious beasts on it. And so I think that's a place to aspire to. And apart from anything, sin stops me from being close to my Heavenly Father. And I want to be close because it's a safe place to be. and Guido agrees. So what? Neil entitled this talk, So What? Faith requires action. It's all very well to say that we think God is good. It's all very well to say that we think God loves us. It's all very well to say that God heals people or that he forgives our sin. It's all very well to say that we think God is here and in our everyday lives, but what does that look like? It requires us to do something in response to that faith. And in the context of this section of scripture, one of the things that we are encouraged to do a lot of times in this section is pray. Is your instinctive reaction to everything prayer? Before anything else, pray. Even in thanks. Thanksgiving takes us into the presence of God, where is fullness of joy. I'm pretty sure joy would drive out any despair or hopelessness about 2017. It's a good place to face whatever comes this year. But pray. It says, are you suffering? Pray. It doesn't just mean physically suffering. Suffering in any way at all. You can pray on your own, it says. But you can also pray with others. That's part of being the body, and that's why we miss meeting together. It matters because we help each other, we support each other, we encourage each other. So pray together. If you're fortunate enough to live with other people from our family or from the church family, pray together. Pray over your day. Pray over anything that comes up. Are you sick? I have to say, I'm trying to make my instinctive reaction not to reach for the paracetamol, the whatever it is, but to pray. And expect, because God is good, a result. The temptation, I was thinking about it over Christmas, first Audrey, then Joe, then whoever around me seemed to be getting colds. And I can do the bit that goes, I'm not having it. But actually, how much conviction is behind that? But this Christmas, I said, no, God, I don't want that. Every cold cell that dares to come into my body can die in Jesus' name. And I haven't had a cold. There have been a couple of days where I've thought, and I've woken up and I've gone, no, I'm not having it. Die. And it's gone. We can pray for ourselves because Jesus is in us and he has the power, not me. Are you struggling with sin? You don't have to struggle. You are free. It says you're free. The captives have been released. And that truth helps you resist. So pray. So this morning, whatever of those bits from that section is where you're at, there's hope. I want to declare over your 2017, there is hope. There is life. There is joy. There is peace. There is abundance. There is provision for all of your needs because you have a good God. And this morning, if you don't know him, there's really good news for you this morning because you can get to know him today. He's here and he would love to meet you.